Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Good morning. As I said, this is a time where we'll start out our time together with a little bit of reflection on some of the conversation we've had over the course of these last couple of weeks. 2 weeks ago, we talked about really a challenge to increase our prayer life. How can we plus one our prayer life? And then last week, we talked about our presence, both in terms of our commitment to the ministries of the church with our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. But before we move into gifts today, I wanted to take just a brief moment of reflection and offer an opportunity for any who might wish to share how perhaps an increase in your prayer life may have affected you over these last couple of weeks. If you've, even over the course of just from last Sunday to today, had an opportunity to increase your presence with your community of faith, how that may have affected your faith life. Is there anyone who might be willing to share about any of those things? That's okay.
You know what? I know I talked already today, but maybe this will warm some other people up to saying something. Presence is such an interesting thing to me. For many years, I've been involved deeply at the church, and it's interesting what just being here does for my soul. And Lewis and I sometimes are here four times a week, working on various things, music or putting up decorations or whatever. But within all of it, there is a, for use of lack of a better term, zen in being in the in this house where you can really feel the Spirit. That is translated out to our traveling. If we travel and we don't go to church somewhere along the road, we feel that there's something really wrong with the whole week. So we intend, even though we arrive on Saturday someplace, we intentionally go to church somewhere on Sunday so that we can enjoy the rest of the week. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you. Thank you. Are there others who might have something to share about how prayer may have affected you or presence? Yes, Ken.
I didn't get a chance to say this the first service, but one of the things that Pastor Bob has done, and I noticed that someone else have done it before, like when you hear an ambulance come through, you say a little prayer. So I actually did that the other day when I was driving home, and there was an accident, and I seen an ambulance come through. I didn't pray with my eyes closed, so I was still behind my vehicle.
That's good.
But I just said a little prayer, and I just asked God that make sure everything is all right, that it's peaceful. And so when I went past the accident scene, it appeared that all the people were not injured. They were standing on the side of the road. Their cars were messed up. And so I just felt so that prayer helped a little bit.
Thank you. Thank you. Others, yes, Hope.
It gives me great pleasure to pray for Su Yen in her cancer treatment, as people I know prayed for me when I had surgery. And I've started tying thank you knots in my prayer quilt and saying thank you prayers.
That's wonderful. Thank you. I had the opportunity to chat with Mark, who's a member here. He generally attends our first service, and he was here a bunch over the course of this last week. Mark is our IT contractor with the church as well, and he spent a little extra time here over the course of this last week because he was doing just some cabling that had to do with some technology within the church. But he stopped me, and he said, "I didn't realize how busy this church is." Now, so many of us who might be here on a Sunday morning, we might feel like, you know, there's lots of people here on Sunday morning, but after that, you know, it's just sort of, there's not a whole lot going on. I have a graphic that I'd like to show you. This is a representation. This is our church calendar. You can find it on our website. That This is just a hint of some of the things that we have going on. Now, you'll see in the left column, it's a traditional week-long calendar. You'll see in the left column, we've got, you know, worship. We've got our 9 o'clock service and our 10:30 service. You'll see later on that our UMYF group is meeting, our United Methodist Youth Fellowship group. So they'll be meeting later on today. Then when you get into the next column, number one, the Beach Breeze deadline is Monday. So if you're writing an article, you need to get it in by tomorrow. That's right. All right, Tenebee's nodding her head here. But you'll also see Monday evening, we've got a couple of meetings that happen here in the church. Maybe you don't know about these meetings. There's an Al-Anon meeting, which is an important meeting for those who have family members who are dealing with addiction issues. But we also have a group meeting and study, and this particular group is what's known as a BBA group. And a BBA group is very closely related to a 12-step, to AA, but it's got a little bit more of a Christian focus. Almost any 12-step group will encourage folks about the necessity of getting in touch with a higher power. BBA takes that into a little more Christian perspective. And so there's a BBA group who meets here on Monday evenings as well. There have been times when I've come through on a Monday night, I forgot something in the office or whatever, and I see all these people around on Monday evenings receiving a great deal of spiritual care through the programs that are made possible through the hospitality and hosting of this congregation. You'll see a big block of time on Tuesday. Many of you know that we have a UCSD has a medical clinic here on Wednesday nights. What you may not know is that they had a separate elementary school that was hosting them on Tuesdays, and they had to leave that facility. So we've been temporarily hosting their Tuesday clinic here at the church until they can find a permanent location. So again, if you were to come here on Tuesdays, you'd see a pallet of food delivered for folks who are dealing with diabetes and other chronic illnesses and things like that to help in their care. You'll see a bunch of medical students and patients and folks here who are receiving good medical care that is in part provided by the hospitality that we as a congregation offer by the use of our facility. You'll see on Wednesday night, you see just an hour on the schedule from 5:30 to 6:30, which is really just the meal. And if you look in our monthly newsletter, you'll see that we generally serve about 150 to 175 meals per week. But what you may not know is that there are hundreds of people here on Wednesday nights. There are hundreds of people here, and some of them come in for the meal, but not everybody comes in for the meal. Some are here for medical care, again, through UCSD. Some folks are here for dental care through UCSD, and a couple of our members are dentists who work at that dental clinic. A number of folks come here for the free acupuncture clinic that's offered by the Pacific School of Religion. The Pacific School of Eastern Medicine, of Oriental Medicine. Thank you. They might be here because UCSD is a part of their ongoing clinic. There's a social worker or two or a psychologist who are here every single week. If you come here on a Wednesday night, there are hundreds of people here. If you had been here this last Wednesday, you will have seen a whole Girl Scout troop coming to volunteer and give of their time and energy. Come on a Wednesday night. It's unreal how full this property is. And if you want to see a church alive, come and see that. Thursday night, our beautiful choir rehearses, prepares the things that we get to hear on Sunday morning. Our handbell choir rehearses. We only get to hear our handbell choir from time to time, but they're here most weeks rehearsing. If you were to come on Friday night, you'd see that there's an NA meeting here, a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Again, a group of people coming to a place where they can be free to be themselves, to learn from one another, to have an opportunity to gain contact with a higher power, however they might name that power. This church does so much. And then if you look at Saturday morning, we have our men's prayer and share Bible study, the group that's been meeting, I'm told, for 2,647 years here. They've been meeting for a long time. Every day, there's something happening here. And it leads me to this. I've been coaching a couple of congregations that are going through a revitalization process, and they were encouraged at our last meeting, they were encouraged to ask themselves this question. And I think any church should ask themselves this question. If out of the blue, for some, you know, unforeseen circumstance, if your church had to suddenly close its doors, would your neighborhood notice? That's a great question to ask. And I submit that if for some unforeseen, horrible circumstance, this church had to close its doors, the community would be profoundly affected. And that's a good thing. By the way, we don't have any plans of closing doors. Just want to be honest and clear about that. Good. This church serves our community. And the way Ron talked about it today, this is a church that does the things that so many people of faith say should be done. There was a pastor who was here visiting our Wednesday night ministry. He was here from out of state. He was from the East Coast. He said, I almost never see churches who are doing what this church is doing. This is a congregation that is being the church. And it's a privilege to be a part of what happens here. All week long, it's a privilege. And it's beautiful. And you all, with your support of this congregation, with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, help make all of these things possible. Now, we've talked about prayers and we've talked about presence, and it's important that we talk about gifts. Stewardship is not only about our financial gifts to the church. It is an important part. By supporting the congregation, the ministries of the church, with all of those stewardship commitments, we enter into a fuller sense of stewardship, and it's an important way that we can live out our faith. And I submit that it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's not only a practical thing, it's a spiritual thing. And so I think that we ought to be rooted in Scripture. So I'm going to invite Tim to read a couple of Scriptures to us. They're sort of long Scriptures. There's a selection from the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians and from the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians. They're both sort of connected, and Paul is asking the church in Corinth really for some help, for some support for some churches. We think that it's, because it's not named, but we think it's for support for some early Christian churches in Jerusalem. Now, I submit to you, or I confess to you, that in the first part of chapter 8, we're not reading that part, but Paul gets a little bit guilt-trippy. He says, listen, there are some these other churches, I think they're Philippi and Thessalonica. He doesn't name it that way, but we think that's what they're from, which churches he references, where he says, listen, these churches who aren't as well-to-do as you, they're giving, so you should give too. Like, he gets a little guilt-trippy in that part. I don't plan to get guilt-trippy in this, but I want you to know that that part's in there. It's important to sort of name some of the parts we skip. But in chapters 8 and 9, he really lays out a pretty well-structured argument for giving. And so we'll hear from Tim. Thank you.
2 Corinthians 8, verses 7 through 15. Be the best in this work of grace in the same way that you are the best in everything, such as faith, speech, knowledge, total commitment, and the love we inspired in you. I'm not giving an order, but I am mentioning the commitment of others. I'm trying to prove the authenticity of your love also. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Although he was rich, he became poor for our sakes, so that you could become rich through his poverty. I'm giving you my opinion about this. It's to your advantage to do this, since you not only started to do it last year, but you wanted to do it too. Now finish the job as well as that you finished it with as much enthusiasm as you started. Given what you can afford, a gift is appreciated because of what a person can afford, not because of what a person can't afford. It is apparent that it's done willingly. It isn't that we want others to have financial ease and you have financial difficulties, but it is a matter of equality. At the present moment, your surplus can fill their deficit, so that in the future, their surplus can fill your deficit. In this way, there is equality, and it is written, the one who has gathered more didn't have too much, and the one who gathered less didn't have too little. Chapter 9, 6 through 15. What I mean in this is this. The one who sows a small number of seeds will also reap a small crop, and one who sows a generous amount of seeds will also reap a generous crop. Everyone should give whatever they have decided in their heart. They shouldn't give with hesitation or because of pressure. God loves a cheerful giver. God has the power to provide you with more than enough of every kind of grace. That way, you have everything you need always and in everything to provide more than enough for every kind of good work. As it is written, he scattered everywhere. He gave to the needy. His righteousness remains forever. The one who supplies seed for planting and bread for eating will supply and multiply your seed and will increase your crop, which is righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous in every way. Such generosity produces thanksgiving to God through us. Your ministry of this service to God's people isn't only fully meeting their needs, but it's also multiplying in many expressions of thanksgiving to God. They will give honor to God for your obedience to your confession of Christ's gospel. They will do this because the service provides evidence of your obedience and because of your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone. They will also pray for you. They will care for you deeply for you, and because of your outstanding grace that God has given to you. Thank God for his gift that words can't describe.
Thank you, Tim. There are a couple of words that I'd like to highlight, Greek words. Paul uses the word charis through quite a bit of chapters 8 and 9. And charis is an interesting word because it has a number of definitions. And if we read the English translation, we don't see some of the symmetry with the use of the same Greek word, because it's, depending on the context, it's translated into English in some different ways each way it goes through. Paul wrote some really beautiful Greek prose. And if any of us spoke Greek, and I submit that very few of us do, it's only in the Greek that we can see some of the beautiful writing that Paul engages in. But he uses this word charis over and over and over again, again, in a number of different ways. But here's what I want to leave you with that piece, is really it comes down to grace. That's the primary definition in my mind of the word charis, is grace. And although it can be translated in some different ways depending on context, when it comes to how we might consider spiritually the act of giving to our faith communities, to giving to our church, to support the ministries of the church, it's got to start with grace. Grace has to be at the core of it. There's another word, and it's used a little more in the ninth chapter than the eighth, but it's I believe the word is kenosis. But it's a word, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong anyway, but it's a word that has to do with emptying oneself. And Paul writes about sort of a God in a number of places, but also in chapter 9, about a God who empties God's self for all of humanity. We who affirm a God of infinite power and presence, a God across time, a God can do anything that God wants, a God who is that infinite, who empties God's self to be present in the Christ in the world. It's a beautiful way to think about God in Christ. But also, as Paul reminds us in the ninth chapter, there's an opportunity for us to empty ourselves as well. And I'm not talking about empty your pocketbooks or your bank accounts, things like that. I'm saying to empty yourself of all the things that are you so that you can give yourself entirely to God. That's sort of the place that we need to be in when it comes to how we might get into the practicality of giving our gifts. And I want to talk a little bit about the practicality of giving our gifts, because I think it's a spiritual experience, but I also think there are some practical things to us. And I want to talk a little bit about both of those in the short time that we have left together today. And here's the thing, and I think it's a challenging thing. Most of you have received our estimate of giving card in the mail. If you don't have one, we can get one for you. But I don't want you to fill this out until you have prayed. I'm serious about that. I don't want you to fill this out until you have had a conversation with God. And here's an even more detailed recommendation, and it comes honestly from a scripture reading kind of process called Lectio Divina. I would invite you to pray before you fill this out. I would invite you to pray while you fill it out. And I would invite you to pray after you fill it out. Here's an example about what that could look like, and it comes from my own experience as a kid in the church where I grew up. It was during a similar stewardship season, and this man came up to the microphone to talk about his own experience of stewardship, similar to how Ron did with us today. His name's Dick, and he was one of those people who was, you know, he was the head usher, and he was always a part of the church, you know, just forever. And he said, when it came to his financial stewardship to the church, he said that he always started in prayer. But he said that was scary for him, because every time he had that prayer, that conversation with God, he said that God would put a number in his head. And it was a number that scared him every single time. Absolutely terrible. And he'd sort of have this argument with God. God, how can I possibly pledge that amount? How can I possibly commit to that amount? I've got to feed my family. I've got to do these things. It's important to have some time for self-care. How can I possibly do that? And yet the way Dick would talk about it is he would always pay attention to God's voice. And he would give himself into that commitment. And he'd write down that number, whatever. He always said it figure. He'd use the word figure, but he said figure. He'd always put that figure on the paper. And what he found each year is that something that would happen to make that commitment more achievable. And there were a number of things that would happen over the course of his life. But what he learned from that is each year he would begin the process of filling out his commitment card in prayer. I think when it comes to any way that we support the ministries of our congregation, it must include God. When you think about how you pray for this congregation, when you think about how you are present with this community of faith, when you think about your financial commitment, when you think about service to the people of this congregation, when you think about your witness to your faith, in all five of those things, it must include God. Now, I confess, my preference with these estimate cards would be to have a commitment for all five of these options: prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. I'll also tell you this, I've tried that before and people got confused. So we only ask for a card back about your financial gifts. This whole series is about, listen, stewardship's not just about money. Money's an important part of it, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But I invite you over the course of this month to think about your commitment or your prayers, your presence, your service, and your witness as well. This entirely is a spiritual practice. And I think if we look at it only in a practical way, we lose the spirituality of it. And I think that if we look at it only in a spiritual way, we might, lose some of the practicality of it. And so I want to talk a little bit about some of the practicality of this. Number one, in a practical sense, pray before you fill this out. Pray while you fill it out, and then pray after you filled it out. And then it might be a good idea, especially if it's one of those numbers that sort of scares you, it might be a good idea to go ahead and pray over the course of the year. I think that'd be a good thing. Ron mentioned the concept of tithing today. You know, sometimes people will come to me and they'll say, well, is that a tithe before tax or after tax? That's a valid question. I also think that if we're trying to get into that minutia, I think we need to up our conversation with God. I really think that we do. Now, Hope shared with us last service the idea of giving of our first fruits, which might lead us to the idea that it's before tax. But in any case, I'd invite you to think about your level of giving. And I invite you to plus one it, to step it up. In the same way we talked about stepping up our prayer life and our presence. If you are someone who gives a percentage of your income, might be in the way that Ron said, starting at 5%, great. What would 6% look like? If you're someone who's at 8% or 9%, great. What would 9% or 10% look like? But here's the thing. If you're already tithing, like, that's a great goal. But if you've already reached that goal, what would 11% look like? If you're at 15%, what would 16% look like? Now, this can be a scary thing as we talk about finances. And I confess that as the pastor of this church, the person who receives a salary from this church, it can seem a little self-serving, because as I'm talking to you about this, part of it goes into my bank account and my ability to sustain my family. And I really have to work hard to not sort of feel selfish as I stand up here and talk about money. But it's about so much more than that. Think about the many, many ways that this congregation has an opportunity to serve this community. Think about that question about if our congregation were to suddenly and tragically close its doors with a community notice, and the answer is absolutely yes. By supporting the overall ministries of this church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, and our witness, we have the opportunity to change lives, and I submit that we do. Now, when it comes to the financial piece, John Wesley offered some great advice. He said, earn all that you can. That's not a bad thing. Do it with integrity. That's pretty important. Save all that you can. Be responsible with what you spend. We don't need to, get the most expensive of everything. We can be somewhat frugal. My dad likes the frugal part. So earn all you can, save all you can. But then Wesley said, give all that you can. You know, if we look historically at Wesley, he had a good period of his life where he gave 10% of his income, but he was so good at the earn all you can and save all you can that when it came to the end of his life, he was giving 75, 80% of his income to the church because he didn't see tithing as something that would limit him. So often we see it that way. All right, I can check that off. I hit my 10%. But I think God continues to challenge us, and I invite you to be prayerful. I invite you to consider that with all things, prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness, but even when filling out this card, it's both a spiritual experience and a practical experience. I invite you into a prayerful time to consider your financial commitments to this. Friends, I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Holy and gracious Creator, we are overjoyed to be a part of a community with whom we can celebrate our joys and where we can go to lean on in times when we need strength and compassion. Help us remember that we continue to be connected, and that connecting factor is your deep and profound love. God, we lift all these things to you and any that have been left unsaid as we join together in the prayer taught to us by your Son, our Christ, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.